Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. Oh, no, 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 no. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. The NBA, college basketball, NHL, yes, golf. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. No, 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 no. Johnny come latelys. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Now, make sure you read the rules on payouts regarding bonus wagering. It does require certain levels of wagering to collect your money, but if you just want to bet straight up, you don't want the deposit, you want to make a one-time bet for $1 million, win it, and then walk away, fine. You can do that as well. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I hate him also. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. Does he look like a bitch? What? Go on.
It is one of the most dreaded things in sports, Jay. The big lead. A 15-point halftime lead. Gone in 20 minutes. And you can cue the crying Jordan memes in 3, 2, and 1. It's a dagger. What a game, though, huh? What a game.
We've enjoyed, well, except for the Villanova-Kansas game, we've enjoyed really good basketball for the last 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been good. Cracker Jack Final Four. I actually got into an argument with my man Brian Butch when he said, you know, the tournament never disappoints. And I say, there's been a few bad years. He's like, no, there hasn't. He's such a homer for the sport, and he loves it, and I understand why. Wait, but wait, I said
Brian Butch is on your station?
Yes, you know Brian Butch.
I know who Brian Butch is, yeah. Wisconsin, yeah. Brian Butch, yeah.
The big white bear in the North Woods, as Brent Musburger called him one game when he was rampaging through the Big Ten.
More than serviceable.
Yeah, he probably would have had a nice short run in the league, except he blew up his elbow landing awkwardly his senior year with a really good team. Still kicked around to like 8 or 9 different countries playing professionally around the world. Has some amazing stories about not getting paid, and he stormed into the general manager's office over in like, you know, some shit Turkestan country and just stood over him at 6'10 and said, "You better fucking pay me." He got his money. And then he was on the next plane.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, so I said, you know, there have been some disappointing Final Fours, but this was not one of them. This was really good. And the championship game, well, my God, lived up to everything.
Yeah, we've had stinkers of Final Fours, but it's either been one or the other. You get a great Final Four and a stinker of a championship game, or a stinker Final Four and then a great. It's either one or the other, usually.
Yeah.
Like the Maryland year. Great Final Four. That game that they won was god awful.
Oh, we're gonna get to the championship game against Indiana.
Poof, yeah, that was god awful game. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that said, we're gonna get to Maryland in just a second. But one thing this tournament did not have, Jay, was a true buzzer beater.
It did not. You're right. But not it had a game single that had with a lot of lead changes, though.
Right. It did not have a single for the win. And good.
And you know what? Because when I watched One Shining Moment last night, yeah, I'm the guy that still does that.
Good for you.
They did not have the – they usually have, like, you know, the buzzer beater and the tea. Thank you, Zabin. I did not realize that. Yeah.
But it was a hell of a game. I mean, the surges, the runs, the intrigue, all that stuff. But let's focus on the big lead. I remember the time that Maryland led Duke in the national semifinal in Minneapolis. 2000.
I remember it also.
And one.
Yes.
And I went back to go watch it again. It's on YouTube, the whole run of it, because I'm going to play a bite for you. They led 40. They led 40-20 with 6:09 left in the first half. They were running Duke out of the gym. And this was Battier, Dunleavy, Duhon, Boozer, James, I forget his first name.
But Nate James.
Yeah, Nate James was one of the guys. I mean, this was incredible. And these two teams had played barn burners earlier in the year, including the Gone in 60 Seconds game. Remember that one? At Maryland?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Of course you do. I know. Well, I'm just saying it for those listeners that don't know. They were up 12 with a minute 9 to play.
Yes. Thank you.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Going dagger. Hey, let's talk about USC Texas next. How about that one?
Yeah, that's right. You're a USC fan. Do you think, by the way, the Carolina Duke game was like the USC Texas of basketball?
Wow. I was trying to remember, wasn't there a Butler game that was back and forth all game though too? And then you had North Carolina versus Villanova. But I know, because like you, I said, this was one of the best games I've seen in 15 years that I could try to remember. And then somebody said, you're a prisoner of the moment.
Oh.
So
prisoner of the moment guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take you back to 15 seconds left. First half, Minneapolis, Maryland leads Duke 46-38. Time is winding down. Here we go.
James cannot stay with Dixon quickness wise, and Dixon knows that. He wants a clear out. Makes his move. No, he'll take the three. Whoa!
That thing was from like 27 feet out. All right.
And then you know what happened next, right?
Well, okay. So anyway, they were up 20 at one point in the first half. And then they get a big three there to go up 11. All right. So they're up 11 at the half. And Gary gets interviewed, as is required, by Armin Katayan. Remember when he used to prowl the sidelines?
I sure
do. How do you turn it around? Well, we're up 11. We don't have to turn it around. We have to keep playing. To be up 11 at halftime against a team like Duke is a great half. All right. Thanks, Coach.
I love it. I love the chippy Gary. He doesn't look at it like, hey, we lost a 20-point lead, but we're still up 11. We're good.
And then in the second half, the whistles came out.
They came out in force, and Lonnie Baxter got a phantom fifth foul that shall live in Maryland basketball history. Yeah.
We had to play 8-on-5, which is hard for anyone to do.
It sure is. So I'm thinking about. Oh, God. Yeah, you did. You're a wee guy.
I did.
The big lead in sports when you blow it is always one of the worst things. I'm thinking.
Hi, Atlanta Falcons, line one.
That's right, 28-3. By the way, somebody tweeted a picture apparently at the Walmart in Atlanta. They were selling Falcon coolers, the disposable Styrofoam Falcon logoed coolers for $3.28. Somebody tweeted a picture going, this can't be a coincidence, can it?
Somebody has a sense of humor.
Right. The Bills-Oilers game, AFC playoffs, 1993, the Frank Reich-led comeback, down 32 in that game, down 35-3 to the Buddy Ryan defense, but the Kevin Gilbride Chuck and Duck offense, he called it. That's a dagger. In golf, more recently at Augusta, Spieth was running away with it in 2016, comes to the beautiful but deadly 12th hole, Golden Bell, Jay, and makes a huge number and just wrecks and wipes out and loses. Rory in 2011 was four shots ahead, cruising, going into Sunday. He finished 10 shots back because he hooked one so far into the woods on 10. It was between two guest cabins. They had never seen anyone there before off the tee. And, of course, Norman at Augusta was the biggest collapse when he got reeled in by Nick Faldo just prior to the Tiger Woods era. Any other
Vandeveld.
Vandeveld's another one. Yeah, of course, in golf. The big lead collapsing. Any others come to mind in any sport?
I was trying to think of one for boxing, someone who thought they had a big lead and sat on it and lost by decision or had a draw. Right. And of course I can't think of one right now. Yeah. I just did you no good.
That's right. The Armando Bacot injury. Was that one of the worst time injuries? Would Carolina have won the game? Possible to know, but it would have helped a lot because pretty much, the big man for Kansas, McCormick, had two big buckets against a helpless, unfrozen, concussed caveman swing shooter in Manic. Brady and Manic.
And okay, I never said Ben. How do you say his last name? Ben. I never said it right. I can't. Because he's from Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Armando Bacot. Yeah. It's like bacon, but with a T. Bacot.
He was playing more than well in the first half.
I know. On that ankle, which had gotten round-the-clock treatment, he was a stud. He had 15 and 15 in the game. And then he goes down on the ankle at just the wrong time. I was thinking, worst-timed injuries, Vinny Johnson colliding heads in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with a teammate for the Pistons against the Celtics. And the Pistons went on to lose that game at the Boston Garden. Do you remember who big-headed Vinny Johnson clunked his giant Stonehenge-like
Rodman.
Dome? Was it Rodman?
I thought it was Rodman.
Wasn't Isaiah, maybe?
Anyway, I thought it was Rodman.
I just know Vinny Johnson, the microwave, was in there, and that's what happened. Terrible timed injury. Remember Kenyon Martin broke his leg for Cincinnati right before the NCAA tournament? Yeah.
Yes.
Willis McGahee tore up his knee in the title game for Miami. Still went first round to Buffalo. Didn't play for the whole first year.
And still got drafted in the first round.
Yeah. Al Chervik dislocated his elbow in a big match against Dr. Beeper and Judge Smales. Had to bow out. My arm is broken. Boobie Miles in Friday Night Lights tore up his knee in a terrible injury.
Real story. And by the way, whenever I see that scene where he cries after he comes back from picking up his stuff and he cries in his uncle's car, it kills me every time.
It's a tough one, man. It's a dagger because you know what happens. You know, there is a great photo.
The guy from the wide receiver from North Dallas 40 who took the pain shot and then it wore off during the game and he got tattooed in the face.
Oh, yeah. In the face.
In the face. There you go.
Thank you. Here's one for you. Tyrod Taylor was going to get a painkiller in his ribs for the Chargers. and they fucked up and missed, and he was a scratch. And the rookie, Justin Herbert, got his first start, and it was curtains right after that. They're like, shit, this guy's
good. I'm calling conspiracy.
Yeah, right. They wanted to get the black man. You got to be the black man. Get him out of the game.
Well, you won the fight. There you go.
Yeah. If Herbert wasn't so good, they would have put him right back in the next game. He was definitely ready. Trying to think what other injuries, notable injuries at just the wrong time. Could have happened to Tiger at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, but he gutted it out. Not only played four rounds with a fracture in his leg, a hairline fracture, but an extra 18 and then an extra hole on top of the extra 18 to finally subdue Chris DeMarco. Or not Chris DeMarco, but oh shit, the other guy. Rocco Mediate.
I got one. Jack Youngblood breaking his leg in the Super Bowl.
Oh wow, Youngblood did, huh?
But remember for the Rams, he broke his leg in the Super Bowl and played on it?
Yeah. How about Terrell Davis getting a migraine in the Super Bowl? Of course, they won that game, though, against the Packers.
How about Scottie Pippen getting a migraine
in
the playoffs?
He got a bitch grain is what he got. did you see the clip of the floor buckling on the Baycott injury? Because some people...
I did not.
Yeah, there's a slow-mo of it. You know, these courts are built up on stilts for sight lines at domes, you know, so they're easier to see for the rows of fans that are very flat and horizontal down on the football field. And a lot of people are like, it's the floor. It's got to be the floor. I don't buy that, though. Do you?
No. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it, people. Who came up with that?
I don't know.
Too much access to stuff from the internet.
Too much media, right?
Too many stupid takes.
Yeah, because basically Caleb Love twisted his ankle on nothing. You know, he was coming back just to defend. It was like, womp, there it goes. You got to watch yourself for sure. Love and the other guard went 1-for-13 for Carolina from three. R.J. Davis. You're not going to win games with those numbers.
Yeah, that did not help. And I said, because I was texting a buddy, and we were talking about how small Maddox was coming up. And I said, well, he's kind of concussed, so I can't really get angry with him right now.
Right, right. Plus, how about the big threes from Remy Martin? Late. 4 threes for him late in the game. Boom, 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 boom. And that was that. And good old Bill Self doesn't have to live with an epic choke. Because let's be honest, losing to an 8 seed that was already thin rotationally with a big man who had his ankle all jacked up, that would have been bad. Right?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because when Bill Self has to give the title back because they're still under investigation, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Do you think anything's going to happen?
No.
Because what?
They're blue blood. Because they're blue blood.
Oh, really? Too big to fail. Yeah. Kind of like Duke over the years.
I was going to say Duke's been cheating all these years and nobody... nothing happened.
Did you see Big Cat from Barstool's cheat sheet on why Duke is awful and Coach K is awful? It had all like the scandals, like, you know, Maggette getting money, Duhon's mom getting hired, Zion
Carlos
Williamson
getting a job when he wasn't qualified to get one.
Yeah. Oh, I did not even know that.
Yeah, Carlos Boozer's dad got a job at a nice firm in Durham, and he was like a truck driver before that. Yeah,
you sure he wasn't the law firm's truck driver?
You'll love this. I used to like Barstool, and then I got out on them, and then recently I got back in.
Okay,
pardon my take. So I'm back in on them.
Okay, so you're saying your theory is that when it comes time to investigate Kansas and Bill Self, it's going to go down a little bit like the scene in Beverly Hills Cop.
I need you in any way from entering my office.
Sir, we're at the Beverly Hills Police Department. Are you Mr. Sidney Bernstein?
Yes, lucky guess.
Well, sir, you have 25 unpaid parking tickets. We have a warrant for your arrest.
Bill Self, you've been paying players with Adidas money under the table.
I
don't pay anybody.
I pay all my
No, we got these guys because of academics.
There are people killing with chainsaws.
My wife's car. That's not my car. That's my
wife's. Those aren't boosters. They're Adidas reps.
No.
Bitch.
Tickets have not been paid. That means you're liable. Can you cuff Mr.
By the way, do you remember when Gilbert Gottfried got canceled and why? He was the voice of the Aflac duck.
He got canceled for that?
No.
He made a joke after a
big global disaster.
What did he say? Was it Tanny Hook or not Tanny Hook? Sandy Hook?
No, he got fired after the Japanese tsunami that crippled the Fukushima nuclear reactor.
Oh, what could he have said? Oh, I forgot about this one.
He sent out a slate of offensive Twitter missives about the Japanese earthquake and the tsunami. And sadly, the link here, as I'm looking it up, is nowhere to be found. Come on.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, here we go. Gilbert Gottfried. I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute.
People, there was there was a radio station that did a song parody in New York, and like the whole morning show got fired.
Canned. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's one. I was talking to my Japanese real estate agent. I said, "Is there a school in this area?" She said, "Not now, but just wait."
Oh God, Gilbert.
Anyway, Gilbert Gottfried in this.
Mercy,
this is
please.
This is Kansas when it comes to this investigation.
Mate, there are people out there with chainsaws. You're cuffing me.
Well, sir, you have 25 unpaid parking tickets, and it's your car, so we have to take you in.
Wait a second, I've got an idea. In this office that I could hand to you, and that would make you kind of forget that you're holding those little pink tickets.
What are you trying to say, sir?
Like you'd be holding something in that hand, and this hand you'd forget about. This hand you'd be concentrating on. That hand you'd go, what did I have there? I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's going to be Bill Self in Kansas, like giving themselves a scholarship reduction or some other penalty.
Aren't there people in prison because of this?
Yes, yes. Prison. Crazy.
So how can but you know the NCAA will sweep this? I fucking hate the NCAA.
Did you like Mark Emmert fucking up on the Kansas City Jayhawks?
Roger Goodell at that moment. He reminded me of Roger Goodell. This the dumbness of him.
It was the biggest trophy presentation gaffe since Rick Wilde for Chevrolet gave Madison Bumgarner the free truck and was panicking and mouth breathing the whole fucking time.
I felt so bad for that guy because he probably got the gig like a week before and he wasn't ready. He was never going to be ready no matter how long they prepared him.
Well,
but he was just like, he was Tommy Boy. That's what he was.
That's the thing. You know, first of all, he was horseshoe bald, which is never a good look. If you're going to be horseshoe bald like I am, you better take it down to the studs, okay? Secondly, he was probably a 4X, big fella. And I don't know if he said, I want the ball. Coach, put me in. I can handle this. Or if they said, no, Rick, you got to do this, man. This is part of the promotion. And maybe he didn't want to do it. I don't know. But the whole look, the mouth breathing, everything was not good.
The official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet, is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to give back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation. At Chevrolet, we have... We have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading,
and it's got some kick-ass stuff in it.
Wi-Fi powered by OnStar.
Here, hold on, shush.
And stuff with
there it is.
Technology and stuff with.
Technology and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, good times. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A couple of things from the game itself. Did you like the Nolans-style national anthem?
Hated it.
Yeah. It didn't really work.
Because I don't like jazz either. So...
Right.
You don't, I wouldn't, yeah.
You don't really want for the national anthem to be envisioning somebody with a parasol pumping it up and down, you know? Like yeah, no. Like Benson, the former owner of the Saints, prancing on the sidelines, you know? Hey, oh, say, can you see? Put that parasol down. We're trying to be respectful here. And did you see the nugget about the last time North Carolina and Kansas played in the title game?
With the Walt Chang? No, that was Hubert Davis. And
Nope. It was 1957.
Oh, Will Chamberlain and the three overtime game. Right?
Triple overtime. Wilt in that game in 54?
Wilt was in that 57? Game. 57? Yeah.
All right, 54-53, triple overtime. And the key nugget is...
that's horrible. 54-53, triple overtime.
In the second overtime, nobody scored. Think about that.
How?
I know.
It was Wilt Chamberlain.
I know. Yes,
that sounds like Ralph Sampson in Virginia.
Yes.
Not that bad.
You would have thought thought a set shot would have gone in. At least one.
Yeah.
And then finally, I dare even ask this question, but has my man Raft jumped the shark?
You talk about the text exchange that you, me, and X had, and I brought that was my first thing on Saturday because I was like, all right, I'm getting tired of him saying the puppies. He said it like 19 times.
Get them puppies organized and a kiss. Yes, man to man.
And I'm sorry. And as you're talking to someone who loves Raftery, but it's time. He's got to go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm starting to think the same. I don't like the three-man booth because there's too many quick shot one-liners between him and Grant Hill. And then Nance is throwing his in as well. There's no coherence to a narrative of, okay, what's going on in the game here? What's the basic strategies being played out? What do you see unfolding? You know, this is where my appreciation in retrospect of Billy Packer continues to grow because I hated Packer when he was calling the games.
Can I also say I would get rid of Nance and bring back Gus?
Wow.
I'm sorry. Gus Johnson... it got no better than Gus Johnson doing an NCAA game, especially if it was a buzzer beater. I'd get rid of Nance in a heartbeat for Gus Johnson.
Yeah. So Steve Buckhantz was texting me last night as well, former voice of the Washington Wizards. Buck. He texts, want to count the number of times Raftery says, big fella, nauseating. I said, come on, Uncle Raft is my guy. Buckhantz, absolutely sickening. Me, what? Buckhantz, he makes me physically nauseous. One of two announcers I have a very, very difficult time listening to.
I'd like to know who the other one was.
I'm going to find out tomorrow night. He's on the podcast at DC Prime.
Could you ask him how he came up with Dagger for me? I'm always, because that's one of my favorite. People who don't know this, Steve Buckhantz, former play-by-play guy for the Wizards, anytime there was a buzzer beater or a big shot, he would say, Dagger. I'd like to know how he came up with that. So if you could write that in your little notepads, let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Is it better than when he said, not possible?
Not possible.
The Morris Peterson-Anthony Parker game tying shot? By the Raptors against the Wizards.
Out for Toronto. They go the length of the court. Ruffin tips it away. And... no! Not possible! Not possible!
Oh, my God. That's so good. It was one of the craziest plays ever. Where
please
basically...
tell me you're not doing a show with him and Naki. Is Naki going to be on there? I bet you he is.
What do you mean, tell me you're not going to? You don't like Naki?
Knocking one of my favorites.
That's what I thought.
I would have loved.
Well, maybe I should have arranged a show with you, Naki, and Buck, tableside at DC Prime over a free steak dinner. But you don't leave your house, and you live in Petersburg, Virginia now. So you're a little bit far away.
I would have. Well, I still come up here twice a month, but I would have killed to be on a Naki show.
All right. Changing gears entirely. Tiger Fuss at the Masters. What do you think?
I was just talking before you called me with our buddy Mark Stern, who said, I'm a terrible golf fan, and I can't wait to watch Tiger. That's like 75% of America right now.
Oh, yeah. Tiger brings every casual golf fan, both white
he
and
brings
black.
All the boys, he brings all the boys to the yard.
It sure does, just like someone's milkshake, famously that's back right. in the day.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, he's looking good. The practice round crowds on Monday were incredible for a practice round watching Tiger. And if the leg holds up, he's going to be a contender, in my opinion. It's all about whether the leg holds up. I don't think there's anything wrong with the swing. He's got his club head speed back. You know his short game's going to be razor sharp. It's just a matter of the leg. Now.
Wait a minute. Okay, here's my – and I'm a semi-golfer.
Yes.
But how do you even suspect that after well, – what did he do in his last Masters before he got injured?
He won. If you recall, 2019, right before the pandemic, right. One of the great comeback
I'll
victories.
Shut up then. Okay.
But I understand what you're saying. The thing is, this, and this is my hot take of the podcast, the Masters has got to expand the field because they are barely a major in terms of the strength and the depth of their field. They have 91 golfers. Only 75 have any remote shot at winning. There is a mix of past champions who still tee it up, like Sandy Lyle and Larry Mize. There's a bunch of amateurs, including amateurs from the South American Tour and the Asian amateur circuit. They're wonderful stories, but it's a 70, you got to beat half the normal field of a U.S. Open, which is 156. Now, the U.S. Open has some weak qualifiers because their local qualifiers are not tour pros, but it's a weak field. And so on a course that's played the same way pretty much year after year after year with the same pin positions, especially on Sunday, year after year after year, it benefits a guy who's won it five times, like Tiger. Five or six?
Wait a minute. They don't change pin positions?
Well, here's the thing. Here's another hot take by me. I would switch up the normal Sunday pins. The pins are where they usually are on Sundays. To the right of the bunker on 12. Where the shaved bank is, front center on the low shelf on 13, which makes for eagles if you can put it on in two and keep it from rolling up the backstop. It's on 15, high right, where Nicklaus put it for eagle in 86. At 16, it's down on that lower shelf where you can roll it in off the backstop like Tiger did on the chip-in. In 18, it's always front left behind the bunker, lower level. Every damn Sunday. Let's switch it up. Hot take.
You're a golf pseudo Augusta nerd.
I'm a super nerd. You kidding me? And then there's
the fact that you know that they don't change the pin positions.
Well, I watch this tournament every year, Jay.
That's true. Okay.
I watch it every year, and I'm a fanatic golfer. I obsess. This is my week here. This is it. This is the high holy week when it comes to golf. Now, question. Does Tiger Woods hate Jon Rahm? The number two ranked player in the world. You're gonna laugh and say, why is that?
Because he took his lane?
No, I want to play. Here's Jon Rahm talking about a recent interaction with Tiger Woods, asking for some advice on playing on Bermuda courses.
I think there's only one man in this field that hears advice from Tiger, because I've asked before and I get nothing. So you might need to ask Justin Thomas, because I'm not. I've asked him before. I remember asking him at East Lake the year he won before we were in the putting green in the practice round. Like, hey, man, any tips for Bermuda, this and that? And he turned around and just said, it's all about feel. And just kept going. And I was like, cool, thank you. I asked him at Albany once about chipping into the gray. I just got to be shallow. I'm like, okay. Right. Meanwhile, I turned around and JT is there with him. He's getting a whole dissertation on what to do. So,
I was kind of a low audio there, but that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I don't think he hates John Rahm, but he definitely, he's
poised. He loves Justin Thomas.
Yeah, those two need to get a room, basically. Speaking of Justin Thomas, one of the funniest Club Pro Guy videos. Don't know if you follow this guy on Twitter. Fake Club Pro, hilarious. He voiced over one of the awkward Masters interviews on Tuesday where they got the Green Jacket member sitting there at the podium and they're introducing the players, giving a long-winded introduction. So he voiced over the actual video with a fake voice of the Augusta National member.
It is an honor and a pleasure to welcome in a man who's...
Oh, hold on a second. God dang it.
One man in this field that hears advice from Tiger.
Hold on. There we go. Let me get rid of that. Okay, here we go.
Probably best known for being childhood friends with Mr. Jordan Spieth. They played together. They went to camp together. They had sleepovers together. They were on the Walker Cup team together. They went to hashtag SB2K17 and hashtag SB2K18.
Spring break.
At Baker's Bay together. He's a man who's 150 pounds dripping wet, and he just hits the shit out of the ball. And I think my first question for a man who's got millions of dollars in the bank and a brand new Range Rover, I think we'd all like to know, how much hoochie do you get on a daily basis?
So when you see the video, because Justin Thomas is there looking very politely at the interviewer, at the guy with the green jacket, but it's a dubbed over audio. Pretty damn funny. All right, couple quick baseball things. Did you see that umpires are now going to be mic'd up and will have to explain the shitty video reversals to the rest of the people in the stands?
Oh, I did not see that.
After review, the call is confirmed. The batter was hit by the pitch. The Los Angeles Angels lose their challenge.
Automatic.
So there you go. I mean, I don't know why baseball took so long to realize, yeah, we kind of have to do this in today's day and age.
So, as I say, the holy trinity of bad umpires, Angel Hernandez, Laz Diaz, and C.B. Bruckner, will now, because Joe West retired. So
that's right.
I can't get them. There's no more Mount Rushmore because those were the four worst. So now we got rid of one. So now they're and Angel Hernandez, you remember what he claimed racial discrimination for the reason why he didn't get World Series World Series gigs?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's right.
That he's the shittiest umpire in all of the shittiest referee slash umpire slash whatever in all the sports.
Yeah.
No, he claimed racial insensitivity.
Yeah. Racial bias. Right. Yeah, he was like, I'm not getting assignments because I'm Hispanic. Nah, your strike zone sucks.
Not getting assignments because you're shitty. You can't make a call on the base pass either.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then there's this from baseball. They're apparently on the verge of approving an anti-sign stealing piece of technology for batters and pitchers.
God.
Have you seen this thing? It's crazy. The catcher has a device on his wrist about the size of a cell phone, and he touches into the pad of the device. He touches in pitch and location, and then it sends an audio signal to the pitcher so he can hear it in his ear. What do you think?
Now, for someone who is very anti-steroid in baseball, this is part of baseball, that somebody on second base could steal your signs because you're not smart enough to hide them. Now, I'm not talking about what the Astros did. That's just pathetic. But if a guy's on second and he can look in at the catcher and get the indicator and all that stuff like that, that is part of baseball. Stealing the third base coach's signs, that's a part of baseball. Yeah. Now hitting a garbage can, that's not baseball.
Right, that's a little bit much right there. I would love to hear what it sounds like. Fastball low and away, curveball up and in, and the pitcher is pressing the little thing to his ear like he's Secret Service. As the crowd's going nuts, he's like, I can't hear this. Where do I pitch
now? What happens if somebody, like the way they do in New England, You know when the people complain about when they go to the league and their headsets don't work? What if someone does that opposing Major League Stadium?
Oh, yeah. No, there's all kinds of stuff that could arise from this. I think you're right. Get a better system of signals or just deal with it.
More
technology will not be the answer. Okay, let's close it out strong here with another rousing rendition of Fuck That Guy.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, who do you got?
Ben Simmons, who's not going to play now at all pretty much in the playoffs.
Sure.
He's not going to play in the remainder season. He's not going to play if there's a play.
He's done. He's for the year.
And then he's trying to recoup his money from the Sixers.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember?
I can't dislike someone more if I tried.
And do you remember when he was briefly at LSU, how much he complained that he couldn't go straight to the pros? And how he made a mockery of, I'm just going here for a year because I can't go pro. I mean, he was so dismissive of what a dipshit he's turned out to be. And for a guy who's a max contract guy who cannot fucking shoot to save his life.
Free throws or jump shots.
Yeah, I agree.
Do one thing, dude. One thing.
One thing. All right. Ben Simmons, FTG. Mine goes to a volunteer at Augusta who apparently picked up Scotty Scheffler in a courtesy cart on the range to shuttle him over to the course and called him Xander Schauffele. Scheffler said it was humbling considering I'm the world's number one. To the cart driver, you want to feel like you're chums with the golfers? You better fucking know them inside and out. And don't confuse a half Asian, half American with a plain white bread dude who's about 4.5 inches taller, you dipshit. So to that guy, I say, fuck him. All right, Jay, good run as always, my friend. All hail the Kansas Jayhawks for now until they have to take the banner down as your national champions.
There you go.
All right, as Ken Beatrice taught us.
Bye-bye now.
All right, thank you for listening and downloading. Spread the word, rate and review, tickle the algorithmic overlords, and it will bless our crops and this podcast. Thank you so much. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. Oh, no, 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 no. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. The NBA, college basketball, NHL, yes, golf. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. No, 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 no. Johnny come latelys. My bookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Now, make sure you read the rules on payouts regarding bonus wagering. It does require certain levels of wagering to collect your money. But if you just want to bet straight up, you don't want the deposit, you want to make a one-time bet for $1 million, win it, and then walk away, fine. You can do that as well. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.